Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Arteriosclerosis is sneaky. It is a slowly developing condition that can damage your arteries, eventually setting you up for heart attack or stroke. Board-certified nutritionist and clinical pharmacist Dr. James Laval will join me today to help understand how arteriosclerosis develops and why it can be such a deadly health threat. He'll also tease out the hereditary and lifestyle factors that can put you at risk, but it's not all bad news. According to Dr. Laval, making some simple lifestyle swaps can reduce your risk of arteriosclerosis and enhance your overall cardiovascular health. A little background on my guest. Dr. James Laval is a nationally recognized clinical pharmacist, author, board-certified clinical nutritionist, founder of the Metabolic Code Enterprises, Incorporated. He founded and practices at Progressive Medical Center in Orange County, California. He also founded Integrative Health Resources in 2001 as a natural products industry consulting company. Mr. Laval has 27 years of expertise in natural therapeutic application and drug nutrient depletion issues, and in uncovering the underlying metabolic issues that keep people from feeling healthy and vital. As such, he has written hundreds of articles for a variety of industry journals and publications and has lectured for thousands of healthcare professionals and consumer audiences globally on these topics. He's the author of 16 e-books and 20 books and was named on the most 50 most influential pharmacists by American Druggist Magazine and was one of only 9 Americans selected to participate in the inaugural Dietary Supplement Education and Alliance and Dietary Supplement Information Bureau. He's a favorite interviewee for the media related to natural care and has done well over 500 media appearances in TV and radio. Help me welcome my guest. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm a little tired now after listening to that, but I'm doing good.
My jaws are sore. My goodness. You know, this is one of those issues, and I've been talking about arteriosclerosis for a long time. And, you know, I told people a long time ago, if we wore our arteries and our organs on the outside of our body, we probably visibly would take better care of them. Because, first of all, we wouldn't want to really see what was going on, and we wouldn't want anybody else to see how bad we're treating ourselves. But arteriosclerosis is truly sneaky. It's happening, and sometimes we have no clue.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what I try to get across to people is the fact that, you know, the first sign of a heart attack, 50% of the time, is death. So it's very sneaky. It's the silent killer. And, you know, it's alarming to me. I just came back from a conference where I was teaching physicians integrative medicine, and I asked the people in the room, how many of you know your blood pressure? Mm-hmm. And you know what was alarming? That probably only 20% of the room actually knew what their blood pressure was.
Wow.
And, you know, bottom line is, it's the silent killer, because if we don't look for the clues that maybe we need to work on our health, we're, you know, all of a sudden something comes up. Oh my gosh, it was a sudden heart attack. Well, it probably wasn't sudden. You missed the clues. You weren't looking for it. You didn't understand the lifestyle factors that were driving you towards that conclusion of, you know, heart attack or a stroke, and probably most of the people listening have known a family member that have had, you know, a heart attack, a stroke, or maybe you're suffering from coronary artery disease and had to have stents put in. And I think that's a tragedy, because I think there's so many things that you can do that can influence your cardiometabolic health, you know, how you're going to really maintain your vitality as you're aging.
You know, I talk with people all the time, and, you know, a lot of them between the age of like 40 and 70. And I'll ask them, do you know your numbers? And they're like, what numbers? And I said, your blood pressure, your blood sugar, your testosterone. Do you know your cholesterol? Do you know the cholesterol ratio, C-reactive protein, your omega-3 vitamin D levels? Bottom line, right? Are you having your blood tested at least once a year? And are you going in for at least that checkup kind of once a year? I'm not a big believer in running to the doctor for hangnails, but I think that going in for your numbers once a year is at least gives you a way to path out or map out your year.
Well, I the last book I wrote was called Your Blood Never Lies. Mm-hmm. And it was because people don't understand what C-reactive protein is. They don't know that they should check for it. And it's really important for people to take as much time about their labs as they do in picking their next refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
I know that sounds cold and callous, but you know the drill. Most people will research the next car they're going to buy, the next fridge they're going to buy, the next washer and dryer they're going to buy. What are the next type of shingles I'm going to put on my roof? They'll spend hours figuring out the right solution. But yet when it comes to their health, they get a lab test and they go, if they get a lab test, they go, oh, the doctor said it was normal, so it's okay. But normal doesn't mean, oh, you're great. Normal just means you don't have a disease yet. So I think it's important for us to start to transcend this concept of, do I have a disease, with how healthy am I? And that's why, to your point, getting that lab test every year, looking for trends. Is my blood sugar going up? The number one the biggest thing that causes your arteries to plaque is post-meal blood sugar. Mm-hmm. So if your blood sugar is skyrocketing after you eat because of, you know, poor selection of foods or maybe an inflammatory response, you're plaquing your arteries. And so it's really, I think, important that people begin to, you know, look for, hey, where am I going with my health? There are no surprises. Cancer doesn't happen overnight. Heart disease doesn't happen overnight. Becoming diabetic doesn't happen overnight unless you don't look for it.
And, you know, and to add to your conversation there, researching your newest cell phone. You know, people spend a lot of time on that. I actually had a conversation with a friend last week, and I said, you need to get in and get a checkup. He hasn't been feeling well. And he goes, well, I've just been really busy. And I said, you have spent 3 days in a row trying phones out at the phone store after work for like 3 hours every day. I said, really? And, you know, it's just, it's not just wrapping their mind around it. It's the idea that a lot of people are scared. A lot of people haven't gone for a long time. It's like the dentist. You know, you haven't been to the dentist for a long time, and then you get nervous about going, and then you're petrified to go to see what has happened and how much, you know, deterioration and how many problems are there. Same thing happens with your health. You get scared to death to go, and sometimes people only go when they absolutely have to or they're forced.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. I think you're absolutely right. People start to get scared of what they don't know. And you know what I found after, you know, all these years of being in clinics and institutes and working with, you know, literally thousands and thousands of people, is that most of the time you can correct what's going on if you just take that first step to find out what's going on. But if you wait long enough, sometimes those corrections aren't going to get you all the way back towards health. And that's what we really need to strive for, is how can I, you know, I think, how can I feel the best I can feel for the age I'm at, for the health experiences I've had up to this date? And you can't do that until you go, I need to get a lab test. And at the core of it, it's your arteries, right? We all hear of hardening of the arteries. Well, hardening of the arteries occurs for a lot of reasons. And, you know, you have to start to check the box of, well, gee, am I getting exposed to anything? There's an environmental burden risk factor that's there. Am I under stress? Stress is huge. What am I eating? Am I exercising? Am I getting good rest? I'm like you said, testosterone. Everybody runs and thinks if they get a testosterone shot for men, it's going to fix everything. Well, if you read the research, it says it's most effective when you change lifestyle. So you sleep more, exercise, eat more responsibly, get to an ideal body weight. That's when the drug works the best. But everybody looks for that magic bullet. And our vessel health, I think, is no different. They think that, you know, a statin medication is going to be the fix. And in reality, there's more to it than that. Even though there's some data on people that, you know, have had previous events that they take statins, they're going to do better. But there's much more to it than that. And once again, spend that much time that you spent going to get the new cell phone, spend it on your health.
You know, the last 20 years, we've been hearing about statin medications being the end all to the number one killer in this country. And our number one killer in this country is still heart disease. And, you know, either so it's not giving the full amount of proclaimed benefit, or, like you say, a lot of people have decided that, well, since I'm using this statin, I can do anything I want because I'm pharmaceutically controlled. And I hear that more than none.
Oh, well, here's the thing. I see a lot of times when you think of people on meds, right? Mm-hmm. They get put on a statin, and then they get put on because what the next thing is then they get put on something for their blood pressure. Then the next thing is they're put on something for their blood sugar. Then they're put on something else for their blood pressure. So people progress, and they think that they're doing well in that moment in time when they're given that drug and it gives them the get-out-of-jail-free card. But in general, when you look at the patient population, people just keep getting put on more and more drugs. And look, I'm a pharmacist. I believe in pharmacology. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I know is polypharmacy. Or the more drugs you have to take to maintain your ability to exist, the more chance you have for side effects. And people don't like living with side effects. But if they but they have to realize you got to start working so that you don't need all those, you know, drug therapies until you really need them. I'm not saying, you know, oh no, all drugs are bad or anything like that, because I don't believe that. But I do believe we're over-medicating too quickly. We're also trying to use things prophylactically that were designed for conditions. So, you know, drugs aren't great preventative things. You know, they're not great for prevention in general. They're great for active treatment. And once again, when your vessels are getting clogged and your vessels get, you know, basically your immune system is what really is behind it. So, you know, the more you get stressed out, you don't have adequate essential omega-3 fatty acids. You have a lot of oxidative stress, meaning your rate of rusting in your body is causing you to rust your cholesterol. When your cholesterol gets rusted, that's called oxidized LDL, and you can measure that in a lab test. When you rust your cholesterol, you plaque your arteries. When you're under stress and you release stress hormones, so things like cortisol and adrenaline cause your vessels to get stiff. I find myself teaching people all the time now that have blood pressure issues how to breathe. That sounds weird, right? You got to teach how to breathe?
Something we should be able to do, like, without thinking?
Exactly. But what happens is people lose their ability to take a deep breath. And that's due to the fact that when you're under stress long enough, your sympathetic nervous system literally limits that ability of your lungs to fully take in air and allow your diaphragm to drop. And when you can't take in a full breath of air, you can't oxygenate your tissues. And guess what? That leads to arterial damage as well.
You know, somebody was asking me about clogged arteries the other day, and they said, well, what is exactly going on there? And I said, okay, I'll give you a visual, because he found out that he had the beginning signs of arterial sclerosis, and he's making all the changes on this side of the fence, because the doctor said, you've got 3 months to get yourself healthy. Otherwise, I'm rolling out the drug therapy. So it scared him. And I said, you know, right. Out here in Las Vegas, I said, you know how most of our freeways are most of the time out here, Orange Cone County, where they have a 4-lane freeway down to a 3-lane freeway, down to a 2-lane, down to a 1-lane, and everybody's squeezing.
I was just there. That's why I'm laughing.
Squeezing, trying to get everybody through that 1-lane. And he said, yeah. And I said,
yes.
That's what blocked arteries are like. And your heart is in overdrive trying to pump that blood and oxygen. And I said, and that's what happens. I said, that's why we get restricted blood flow and carotid arteries and all that other stuff. And he said, well, is that something that I'm doing to myself? I said, most likely.
Right. Yeah. I mean, one of the big things that I do is try to teach people, well, what can you do? Well, you know, we talked about stress reduction, and that's fine. Post-meal hyperglycemia, meaning I eat food, my blood sugar soars. So at 1 hour, my blood sugar is above 140. As soon as your blood sugar goes over 140, you are sending out chemicals that will help your body plaque. So how does your blood sugar get above 140? You eat too much starch, you eat too much sugar. That's how it happens. So, you know, people, teaching people that learn how to count your carbs, understand what's in sugar. Oh, you're buying that fresh pressed juice and you think it's so good for you? Read the label. It's got 85 grams of sugar in the bottle. That's a lot of sugar. That's the equivalent of 4 cans of pop, you know? So I'm not saying replace pop with drinking that juice, but neither one really is a good option. You've got to understand, what's the right food for me? Because it's so important to understand that process of when my blood sugar goes up, I trigger inflammation. my blood vessels get sticky, the blood gets sticky, my blood vessels get inflamed, my immune system gets active, I rust my cholesterol, and now I'm prone for plaque and heart disease. And here's the thing. All diabetics have heart disease. And the reason is because they all have high blood sugar. So it's one of the biggest things that people have to learn to overcome is the lifestyle of reward eating. I'm going to eat carby, starchy, sweet food because I'm under stress. So, you know, the advent of the chocolate-covered bacon with sea salt and caramel came to the existence in the U.S.
You know, when it comes to atherosclerosis, a lot of people are confused, I think. I actually had a conversation, this is a while back, and I've shared this before, and I was talking with a friend of mine, and I said, now, have you cut back to more of a higher protein, a healthy protein, and more greens, and got off the carbohydrates? And she said, oh, yes, I have. And I said, give me an example of a day. And this is what I see this confusion all the time. And she said, well, for breakfast? And she said, I've been very good. And I said, okay, let's hear it. She said, I only had 2 pieces of toast for breakfast. And I went, uh-huh. And she said, and a big bowl of oatmeal. And I went, all right. And she goes, for lunch, I had 1 sandwich and I had baked potato chips. And I said, okay. And she goes, and for dinner, she goes, I only had 2 slices of pizza and some applesauce. And I went, okay. I said, we need to talk about what carbs are, what proteins are.
Exactly.
And she was really positive that she had done really well. And obviously it was actually better, believe it or not, than what she had been doing. But once we kind of reversed things and she got up in the morning and had a couple poached eggs and for lunch had a chicken breast and a salad and for dinner had some salmon and green vegetables and a salmon, and she understood it better. You know, she understood better. And then things really dramatically changed. And then she had the aha moment, but not a lot of aha moments going on out there because I think we have a relationship with our food, you know, James, and I think we hold on to these relationships because it's an unhealthy relationship, but it's one that we are, my goodness, it's almost like we're addicted to the food.
Well, without a doubt, there is a strong addiction profile that takes place. There's a strong comfort profile that takes place.
Yeah.
So not only is it when you get under stress, that oatmeal's comforting. You know, but I took the maple syrup off. I just ate the oatmeal
yeah.
and put berries in it and poured yogurt on top of it. But there's that comfort piece. I want that bagel. I want that cupcake. There's no cupcake stores closing down, right? I don't see bakeries staying going out of business. Do you ever see a bakery where the sign says going out of business over it?
Never have.
and there's no broccoli shops going in where the bakery shop was. So nobody's selling broccoli in all of its iterations for people. So the craving is out there. You can pull into the local gas station and get your favorite cookie, and you could even heat it up and make it warm and yummy, right? So the point being is there's a hedonic, right? There's a craving pattern that says, I need that starch. The second thing that happens if you're under stress long enough is I can't stop eating it. In fact, after I eat the 5th cookie, maybe if I could just rub it on my head, I'd feel better. And so I really think stress plays a big role in, you know, atherosclerosis because stress hormones cause your blood vessels to constrict. B, it causes your immune system, the monocytes of your white blood cells, of your immune system, they trigger something called macrophages, and macrophages attack your cholesterol and trigger plaquing. So there's stress causes eating pattern problems with sugar and carbs. It causes a stress hormone release that causes the vessels to be damaged. And the third thing is it causes the loss of minerals like magnesium that are responsible for vessel pliability. And I think it's important for people to understand there's things you can do about this. I mean, there's things you can take. I think there's a couple really interesting dietary supplements on the market that have had some fantastic validation from the science standpoint that, you know, people should be thinking of how do I protect my blood vessels every day because, you know, your blood vessels are it's literally the carrier for oxygen, life-giving oxygen and nutrients to every corner of your body. And the job is to nourish every cell in your body. And when your vessels constrict, you can't deliver the goods.
As you can see, the topics are very, very important for our good health and relevant for today's world. If you want to see what's coming up on the show, like our Facebook page or follow us on Instagram and Twitter and let us know what your favorite healthy habit is, and then listen in. You might hear it mentioned right here on the show. And we all know that walking into most health food stores can boggle the brain. Faced with shelf after shelf of supplements, how do you know what to choose? Better Nutrition can help. Better Nutrition is the healthy shopping magazine, packed with useful information on a variety of health topics, as well as deliciously healthy recipes and good-for-you lifestyle tips. Every issue will help you stay up to date on the best products and advice for optimal wellness. Pick up your copy of Better Nutrition at fine health food stores near you today. Also, James had mentioned one book, Your Blood Never Lies. Don't forget these other ones, Cracking the Metabolic Code, The Nutritional Cost of Drugs. These are must-adds to your library, so make sure that you do that. Add them in. Also, a couple websites, metabolicode.com, and of course, jimlavalle.com, JIMLAVALLE.com. These are places where you can always get good information. You want to make sure that you have this information at your fingertips so you can make better, wiser, healthier decisions. Let me ask you a question. Can you give people maybe just a couple simple lifestyle swaps that could reduce the risk of arterial sclerosis?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the first thing is you know, eat more plant food. That's big. Get more vegetables in. Super important. Eat more proteins. Just like what you said to your friend and patient. I would do that right away. The next thing is you know, do deep breathing a couple times a day. Really try to allow yourself to calm down. The third one is, look, if you're going to take one dietary supplement that would be proven to help even regress coronary vulnerable plaque, aged garlic extract, which the company's called Kyolic. Dr. Matthew Budoff, professor at UCLA School of Cardiology, interventional cardiologist, has done multiple studies on this. And it literally has shown that aged garlic extract works on several parameters. You know, the first is that it reduces oxidized LDL, so your rate of rusting goes down. The next is that it helps your blood vessels to be more pliable, so your vessels don't get stiff. You don't have hardening of the arteries. And they've shown that it allows the vessels to recover more quickly from when you get under stress. So it helps with blood pressure. Helps with oxidized cholesterol. The other big thing is that it also helps with other parameters like bone mineral density loss. So people don't realize this. When you plaque your arteries, the calcium that's in your blood actually is used for your arteries. And when you're under stress or you're losing bone density, that calcium that's lost out of your bone actually goes to plaque your arteries. Aged garlic extract actually was shown in the last clinical trial to stop bone mineral density loss. So when you stop bone mineral density loss, you don't give the building blocks for the plaque to build in your body. And there's several other benefits to that one, but that's an important one. You know, so aged garlic extract, Kyolic's the name, that one works so well. And then you got to get magnesium in. You know, nobody's eating enough vegetables. Mm-hmm. Magnesium is directly correlated to the incidence of metabolic syndrome, development of type 2 diabetes, hypertension, you know, high blood pressure. And you mentioned C-reactive protein. The lower your magnesium pool, the higher your C-reactive protein. So that's just a couple of, you know, here's some supplements. When you're going to work out, four or five times a week, at the very minimum, try to get out there and walk 45 minutes. Get your heart rate up a little bit. That's the minimum. If you want to do more, great, but do that. And then, maybe one of the biggest factors, get 7 hours of sleep a night minimum. 7 to 9 hours. Don't be fooled by thinking you can cheat sleep, because when you cheat sleep, you increase your risk of inflammatory chemicals. You also end up swinging your blood sugar more dramatically. So sleep, stress, eat better, exercise some, try to take a few key nutrients like kyolic aged garlic extract and magnesium to support heart health.
you know, there's a lot of people that'll say, well, I'll get caught up in my sleep on the weekend, and you can't, you don't get to store it up and put it back again when it's missing. You have to deal with the fatigue and the tiredness. And it's not just that, it's all those other things in the body that, you know, are negatively affected when we don't shut down and charge our batteries.
That's exactly right. That's so true. And it's just important for people to understand that look, plaquing doesn't occur overnight. Weight gain doesn't occur overnight. And look, you know, it's the other thing. You know, heart disease, it doesn't matter. If you say, oh, I'm ideal weight, that doesn't mean I'm going to have heart disease. Heart disease doesn't differentiate people that are overweight or not. Even though it's true, when you're obese or you have type 2 diabetes, you increase your risk. There's a lot of people that are just very stressed out that end up triggering plaquing of their arteries. I just talked to a patient the other day. His maximum weight, 5'7", 150 pounds, needed 3 stents. He was an ideal, he was a small frame, thin guy, but he was still plaquing his arteries. So don't think just because you're at ideal weight that you don't need to get that lab test and that you don't need to do your blood pressure.
Well, I think there's a lot of information out there that we have to get. And, you know, learning a little bit, and, you know, I think you're probably an advocate as I am, baby steps, you know, one change at a time. And before you know it, you'll start to feel the difference. And then you're going to want to do the next one, because I think most of us don't feel as good as we really want to. And if we start to feel some of that again, it's amazing how the momentum can aim us in the right direction. We talked with Dr. James LaValle today. We talked about, you know, atherosclerosis. We talked about how to, you know, maybe some tips that might make things a little better, a little easier, a little bit more balanced. We also talked about lifestyle. We talked about getting more exercise and, you know, making the time to do the things we need to do. Chiolic garlic, don't forget about that. Add that in as well. Amazing line of odorless garlic that is so nice to use in so many different formulations. There's definitely one for you. We want to make sure we're doing everything we possibly can. This is a big issue. Remember, it didn't happen overnight. My thanks to my guest, Dr. James LaValle. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is the Talk Healthy Today show on Radio MD. For more information on this and all my segments, remember to go to my radio show page, Talk Healthy Today, for on-demand podcast of the show. I thank you for listening. Stay well.